It's only in the moment when Moshe once again commands the Jewish people to keep Shabbat that we know they are truly forgiven. It's a reprise of sorts. Shabbat, in the Torah as it is written, is the last command God gives Moshe before the Chet Ha'egel, before everything shatters. In that final beautiful moment of before, God promises Moshe that Shabbat will be an eternal sign between God and the Jewish people. And Hashem said to Moshe, "Speak to the Jewish people and say, 'Nevertheless, you must keep my Shabbat, for this is a sign between me and you throughout the ages, that you may know that I, Hashem, have consecrated you. You shall keep Shabbat, for it is holy to you. One who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does work on it, that person shall be cut off from among kings. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be a Shabbat of complete rest, holy to Hashem. Whoever does work on Shabbat shall be put to death. The Jewish people shall keep Shabbat, observing Shabbat throughout the ages as a covenant for all time. It shall be a sign for all time between me and the people of Israel. For in 6 days Hashem made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day ceased from work and was refreshed.'" Upon finishing speaking with him on Har Sinai, Hashem gave Moshe the 2 stone tablets inscribed with the finger of God. Immediately following that promise, things collapse with the construction of the Egel, and the Jewish people enter a period of uncertainty. Is their bond with God still present? Will God forgive them, or have they been rejected? The answer comes in an echo of the moment of shattering when Shabbat re-enters the story. In a mirrored image of the last time God commanded Shabbat before the Egel, in which the command was issued immediately before Moshe descended the mountain with the Luchot, this time it is given immediately after. So Moshe came down from Har Sinai, and the 2 Luchot were in Moshe's hands as he came down the mountain. And Moshe gathered the people and spoke to them the things that God had commanded them to do. On 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Shabbat of complete rest, holy to Hashem. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your settlements on Shabbat. The mirroring of the first Shabbat command is a veiled promise. The Jewish people are reminded to keep Shabbat because of what Shabbat symbolizes, the irrevocable covenant between God and the Jewish people. In reminding the Jewish people to observe Shabbat, Moshe is reassuring them, that bond is still present, and you are still God's people. We are brought back to that last minute before the shattering, and given the opportunity to play out the story in a different way. Not by building a replacement for God, but by building God a home among us in the form of the Mishkan. Shabbat itself becomes a mark of forgiveness, an opportunity to begin again. It is symbolically linked to the gift of the possibility of tshuva, literally to the possibility of return. Return to God, return to ourselves, and, appropriately for a day that reminds us of creation itself, return to the possibility of new beginnings. While that possibility might seem obvious to readers of the Torah who are used to its narratives, a midrash describing the aftermath of Cain's conversation with God after Hevel's murder reminds us that the possibility of tshuva is surprising, even miraculous. Adam met him and asked him, "How did your case go?" "I repented and am reconciled," he replied. Adam began beating his face, crying, "So great is the power of tshuva, and I did not know." Immediately, he arose and said, "A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to confess to God." Tshuva, the possibility of beginning again, is, according to this midrash, not obvious. It is something that must be discovered and a gift for which one must praise God. Adam, overwhelmed by the gift of the miracle of tshuva, does exactly that in the form of Psalm 92. Playing on the word lehodot, to give thanks, the Midrash instead reads the word not as anchored to hoda'ah, thanksgiving, but to vidoy, confession, a part of the tshuva process. Tshuva's discovery, however, is not a one-time event. The Midrash continues. Rabbi Levi said, "Adam wrote this psalm. It was subsequently forgotten by his generation, and Moshe came and rewrote it in his name." In stating that Moshe wrote Psalm 92, however, Rabbi Levi is not simply answering the question of attribution. Instead, he is pointing to a profound moment in Moshe's life, the aftermath of the golden calf. It is not obvious that God will forgive the Jewish people. Like Cain's murder, the people's betrayal is devastating. Like Adam before his discovery, a first-time reader of the story might assume that there is no path back from sin. The possibility of God's forgiveness is the shocking innovation at the heart of the story of the golden calf, a discovery that will change the Jewish people's relationship with God forever. While the original layer of the Midrash, which attributes its authorship to Adam, relies on the Thanksgiving confession wordplay, Rabbi Levi's attribution to Moshe might focus on another textual point. Its introduction, a psalm for Shabbat. Rabbi Levi draws our attention to the link in Moshe's life between tshuva and Shabbat, specifically Shabbat's reintroduction in the wake of God's forgiveness. The Midrash implicitly invites us to imagine Moshe after descending the mountain with the second set of luchot and commanding the Jewish people once again to observe Shabbat as an everlasting sign of their renewed covenant, composing Psalm 92 as a memorial for that moment of forgiveness and a testament to the power of tshuva. It doesn't change what came in between the chaos and the pain and the death. It doesn't bring us back to the before unchanged. But tshuva is a promise. However lost we feel, however much we sin, however far away God feels, we can always find our way back to each other. This is also how it feels to live in our rhythm of weekday and Shabbat. The moments when we feel closest to God and to one another, the moments of tranquility, of love, of peace, will always be ruptured. They cannot last forever. That is the way the world is. And eventually, maybe sooner than we hope, we find ourselves in the middle of the week, in the middle of the world, feeling further away than ever from that shelter. But week after week, Shabbat comes back. And with it, each time we light candles as the sun begins to set, we come back to this moment where the rupture finally begins to heal. And sometimes, on those Friday nights when you need Shabbat more than ever before, in the twilight, in the stillness, you can almost hear the whispered promise. Always, no matter what happens, always, no matter how far you are, we will find one another again.